SAFM Literature with Nancy Richards.
Nancy Richards.
Leaving no page unturned on SAFM 104 to 107.
104 to 107.
SAFM Literature it is, you're listening to right here on SAFM. And once again, let me just reiterate, if you would like to share anything at all with us, you're most welcome to do it. If you'd like to do that in the next half an hour or so, you can send us an SMS on 40938. Otherwise, you can get in touch with us at books@safm.co.za. If you want to get in touch with me directly, it's richardsn@safm.co.za. What we've got coming up in the last hour, our back page, we've extended our back page because we feel that there are lots of stories that we're going to hear right now. We're going to be talking about a book called What It's Like to Be In My Shoes, is the title of the book, In My Shoes. The book has come from the Scalabrini Centre in Cape Town. It's a book full of personal stories from refugees, from asylum seekers and migrant workers, some of them very short, some of them a little bit longer. But we're going to hear about the centre, we're going to hear about the book and how it came into being, and we're going to be talking to a couple of the storytellers themselves who have joined us here in the studio, which is wonderful. And after that, to close, as always, we're going to be having the Sunday Play, which is another one of the Tales from the Boulevard by Guy Maupassant. So that's what we've got in the lineup. Stay tuned.
Show's so good, we won't blame you if you can't pick a favourite.
Can't pick a favourite.
SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
Well, I was lucky enough to go to the launch of a book the other evening at the Book Lounge, where they really do have some pretty fabulous book launches, which is wonderful. The book in question was called In My Shoes, 40 Original Stories from Refugees, Asylum Seekers and Migrant Workers. All of them people who attend the Scalabrini Centre in Cape Town. So what is the Scalabrini Centre, you ask yourself? What is this book all about? Who put it together? And, all those many, many questions and many more. So, well, let me tell you, we're going to find out exactly what the Scalabrini Centre is in just a minute, because we're going to be talking to Miranda Madikane, who is the director. But we also have in the studio, Miranda, whose name has just escaped me for the moment here. She's Miranda Govinda, and she's going to... These Mirandas and the Melanies is a little bit confusing. She's Melanie Govinda, and she is... It's actually her brainchild. It was she who came up with the idea of these being putting together this collection of stories. We also have in the studio Anna. Hello, Anna. Looking very wonderful, I have to say, in a very powerful orange, and I'm sure that reflects your personality. So lovely to have you, Anna. We also have Aleph, who's looking rather more muted in a check shirt, but nice to have you with us as well. So what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to find out a little bit more about the Scalabrini Centre. So we do have on the line Miranda Madikane. Are you there, Miranda?
Yes. Hello.
Nice to have you with us. Sorry you're not with us here in the studio. Miranda, just give us the story of the Scalabrini Centre. What is it behind the name? I know that you're here in Cape Town. Give us the version.
So the Scalabrini Centre is a non-profit organization. We started in about 2002. The name Scalabrini is actually the name of a man, a bishop, in fact, of the Catholic Church in the 18th century. At the time, the world was, Europe, in any case, was beginning to start traveling, and he felt that people really needed assistance as they entered into the New World. So he spent his fortune traveling around the world and looking after migrants as they set up their homes in new continents. So the Catholic Church then created an order, and it's now the Order of the Scalabrinis. And essentially their job within the church is to look after people on the move, migrants.
Mm.
So we're very lucky to have people... Our founders have a deep insight into the needs of people moving and what their experiences are. So I'm very lucky to have great leadership.
Indeed. Goodness me, what a wonderful story. And I'm thinking that back in the 18th century, certainly there would have been people on the move. But now there would be a hundredfold that many people on the move. So, you know, how visionary of him to have realised that people on the move were going to need assistance. So am I right in thinking then that there are Scalabrini centres all over the world?
Yes, exactly, there are. The Scalabrinis are quite prolific. I think we've got about 250 centres all over the world, mainly service centres. And then with the service centres, there's the parishional support, so support from the Scalabrinis themselves. And then they do quite a lot of research, because what's typical around migration is that there's a lot of unknown questions, unknown answers to questions, should I say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, increasingly so. 250 centres worldwide. How many do we have here in South Africa?
Well, we've got just ourselves in Cape Town, and then we've got a congregation and a parish in Johannesburg, in Rosettenville, where we are thinking of expanding our work there too, because of course there are a lot of migrants in Johannesburg too. But we'll work slowly towards expanding into a service centre there too.
This is a difficult one, Miranda. We've got many migrants in Cape Town, many in Rosettenville, migrants, asylum seekers, migrant workers, refugees. What are we looking at in terms of numbers across South Africa?
A magic question. I was asked that just this week, and I'll respond in the same way. I don't think anybody knows.
Mm.
Department of Home Affairs certainly doesn't know. And, of course, because of all the moves that are happening on policy and politically, what we're seeing is higher and higher number of people falling into a state of undocumentation. So we don't know. I would say we don't know. The academics will put foreign nationals at about 4 million, so just 3.5 million, just under about 4-5% of our population are foreigners. But honestly, nobody knows.
Yeah,
we don't know this. That's one of the things that I would, and the centre is arguing that it's a really important part of managing migration is to know what your numbers are, so that you can plan, and that you know who's in your country and what they're up to. So we very strongly advocating that the Department of Home Affairs needs to offer documentation to people in the country.
Yes, I suppose whether or not we know numbers, what really matters is we don't know, but do we care is really what this is all about. Because whether or not we know exactly how many people there are, what we really want to know is, are we looking after them in the way that we should be? So there's yourselves, the Scalabrini Centre. What other, possibly there are many, what other organisations are there or centres are there for refugees, asylum seekers and migrant workers where they can go and get help?
There's the Donas Masati Project, which is situated in Athlone. They do a range of work. They're implementing partners for the UNHCR, so they're directly responsible specifically for refugees and migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. They, I think, don't work with the undocumented or with economic migrants. CTRC, which is the Cape Town Refugee Centre in Wynberg. PASOP, which is Zimbabwean-led. These are all in Cape Town. Unfortunately, Arresto was another organisation, but just recently closed their doors. But I think the thing about migrants and refugees, and there are two legal clinics who offer very strong advice to refugees and migrants and asylum seekers, because they do need legal advice. There's the Legal Resource Centre in town and UCT Refugee Clinic attached to their law clinic on campus. Some of the organisations. But I think migrants, specifically those with documentation, can actually access services from any non-profit.
Yeah. Just thinking that, you know, what is important is that the people who come to this country need to know where those places are. Who, when they arrive here, well, I suppose I should be asking our guests here exactly how it worked for them, but just from you, Miranda, when people come here to South Africa, who helps them? Is it friends and relations that they have here? Who helps them point them in the right direction?
Yeah, so we see that social networks are extremely important in determining destination when a person is forced to leave their home. So people do look to where their families and friends are. And so, indeed, yes, they would go to the city or to the place where they know people. And so we see that a lot. The migrant community supports the migrant community.
Yeah. as well as you supporting. And I support is a great big word that could mean a million and one different things, because what sort of support does one need? One needs somewhere to stay, somewhere to live, somebody to look after you, somebody to care about you, and somebody to listen to you, I suppose, most importantly. Miranda, we're going to ask you just to hold the line. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Show's so good, we won't blame you if you can't pick a favourite.
Can't pick a favourite.
SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader.
We're here on SAFM Literature. We're talking about a little book called In My Shoes. We've been talking to the director of the Scalabrini Centre. She's Miranda Madikane. But in the studio with me, I have Melanie Govender, and I have two of the... What do we call you? What do we call you, Anna? Do we call you a migrant worker? Do we call you an asylum seeker? What do you like to be called? Anna.
Anna. Anna is me.
Okay, we'll go with Anna. And what about you, Aleph?
Aleph.
Yeah. We'll just call you Aleph. These titles are difficult. But we also have in the studio, we have Melanie Govender, who was the birth mother of this book, if you like. Melanie, you have been a teacher, a language and ethics teacher, I see, at the Scalabrini Centre. What do you do there? What is your role?
I was actually a teacher only for English, so
okay.
I'm an ethics teacher as well, but I taught only English classes at the Scalabrini.
Okay. You have an accent, which is definitely not local, so where are you from?
I am from Germany.
Okay, so you're from Germany and you're teaching English?
Yes.
At the Scalabrini Centre?
Yes.
Okay. How much of a challenge is that? I mean, when people come, I mean, again, Anna and Aleph will be able to tell us what their experience is, but when people come to South Africa, generally speaking, if there's such a thing as general, what's their command of the English language or indeed any other of our official languages?
Especially for me, it was not easy because when I came, I also couldn't speak English very well. So then I taught and learned it, and after 3 years, it's like it is now. And I also learned it while teaching the students, and they taught me a lot as well. So we kind of worked everything out together in class, which was a very good situation because it was very practical and very centered on not only reading books, but really with games and social work together. So it was all getting to know the language together.
Yes. And getting to know the language, the level of language that you need to get you what you want to do.
Exactly.
So you were teaching them, and I think at some point along the line, you thought, hey, there's a book here. Just explain what happened.
Exactly, because students came to me explaining their difficulties in South Africa and why they left their home countries. And then I thought, it's so amazing what they have to tell. We need to put this together so others can read it too. So that's how the book came together. I just talked to Kate, and we collected all the stories and got the students together, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of amazing experiences also with the writing project, that we had to learn more vocabulary and more phrases and all that important stuff to put this book together.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a learning writing exercise.
Exactly.
It was a... you know, really tell me your story. Aleph, let's start with you. You might have to come just a little bit closer so we don't lose you. There's the big question, what is your story, Aleph? Where have you come from, and how long have you been in South Africa?
I can say now I'm South Africa 1 year and 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from DRC.
Okay.
Congo, DRC. Yes.
What brought you here? Why did you come to South Africa?
Because I would like to join my family who lives here in South Africa. That's why I came here in South Africa.
Okay. Did they say to you, you must come? And after they ask you to come?
Yeah, because I didn't have a choice, because my family is already here. But I should come and live with them together. Yeah.
When you arrived, so you've just been here for a year. When you arrived, what was the experience of arriving? How did you feel? Did you feel welcome in South Africa?
But the first time, I can't say you are welcome, but after understand the South African society, and you can say it's not the same thing that you think when you are in your own country. Yeah.
And your family, who of your family is here?
I can say both of my parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have they been here for a long time? Are they settled? Are they happy here?
Yeah, no. I can't answer, but I don't know if they are happy or not, but they don't have choice there. They have to live here because they fled some different trouble in GRC. That's why they are here.
Yeah. And did you have to leave as well for the same reason? Was it because of the trouble that you had to leave as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the trouble that made you leave?
Yeah. No, because there is many trouble there. Government trouble, the war, and many trouble there. That's why we push us to leave there.
Okay. Anna, what about you? You come from Kinshasa.
Yes, so DRC Kinshasa. I came 2013.
Okay.
To South Africa, yeah.
So you've been here a little while?
You say?
You have been here for 5 years?
5 years, yes.
Okay. Are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy.
Okay. When you first arrived, just explain why you came. Did you come by yourself or did you have family?
I came with my husband because we need a life safe. And in my country, it was... The other people didn't... Democracy is not a real situation in my country. It's just a slogan. And life also is always difficult. We try to look at every day how we can eat, how we can eat, how we can save with our children. It's very difficult. And when we say in the war, so every time is always the war, problem the war, and problem of for the politician in my country is like he doesn't care about people.
So it's difficult. So what did you expect to find when you came to South Africa? How did you get here, firstly? How did you get here?
It's like I feel safe. I feel happy to see somewhere where people are welcome people, and the people can listen to you. Even if you can speak the same language like him. Like the first time when I come to Oma first, I didn't know to speak English. I can speak the French is the language of my country, but I saw the people who care about me. We try to understand what I'm talking, and help me to explain my situation about in Oma first.
Mm-hmm.
And did you come by truck or by
train? Did you come by bus or train or plane?
I came by the bus. It is a very difficult situation because we stay 5 years, night and day. And sometimes the car is always take a break. The motor is always down. Supposed to wait to the mechanic to come to repair that. It's a difficult situation because we stay in the way or there is no people, only the brush. And sometimes we saw the military, the soldiers come to help us to that situation. But it was a difficult situation because I was also pregnant. I was pregnant like 7 months. And every situation, like too much stress for me, it's too much.
Was it your first child?
Yes.
So at least you weren't caring any or looking after any other. Aleph, what about you? How did you get here physically?
My bus, yes.
Okay. Also, and how long did it take?
We did 5 days. 5 days on the way, yes.
Yeah. Miranda, I know that you're still there, so I'm just listening to these stories. I'm listening to Anna's story of 7 months pregnant and spending all that time in a bus, coming all the way down here. Generally speaking, do people arrive by bus? Do they come in legally? What is the process?
You know, I think you should say, is there generally? And I don't really think there is much of a generally. The law stands currently that if you are running from war or persecution, you may enter South Africa's borders and make your way to a refugee reception office where you explain your story and you are given an asylum seeker permit, which entitles you the right to work and study. The law would stipulate that it takes 3 months then for you to return to the refugee reception center and explain in deeper detail to a refugee status determination officer what your story is. And it's that officer's role then to determine whether or not you are a refugee under the refugee law, and then give you a refugee permit, which would then entitle you to stay for 4 years, and then that's renewable. As depending on what's happening within your country or around the reason for your fleeing. That's the process under the Refugee Act. I think the big problem for us in South Africa and for migrants within the region is that the Immigration Act has no accessible visa for people who would like to come to South Africa to access the economy, to feed into the economy, and then to feed, in fact, earnings back into the region. So without this economic kind of visa, people are coming into the asylum system and accessing work permits this way, some people who have real claim and others who don't. It's really important that government balance out the legislation. It's never wise to have a wide open policy on one legislation on the other side and a complete closure on the other. So if we could see government, and in fact the white paper on migration has recently been passed, and they recognize the need for what they call the SADC permits. And we're really, really hoping that will come into being quite quickly, because the asylum system is under too much pressure. The numbers are way too high. Government absolutely cannot handle the numbers.
Just coming back, sorry, I'm just looking at the time, but just coming back to the stories, Aleph, I'm just looking at your story here. And one of the things you say, with all obstacles met in South Africa, I can never imagine building my future here, because to live in South Africa as a foreigner, it's like you sow seeds in the desert. I'm planning on how I can pursue my studies and looking for other opportunities away from South Africa. So it seems that you don't want to make South Africa your life forever. But how are your plans going? I mean, say, for instance, you have 4 years. What do you plan to do? Are you able to get work, or do you want to be, are you able to study?
Yes, I'm able to study, but I can say, for me to build a future in South Africa, I don't think so, because I don't like to stay a useless person, and that's why I want to study and get the South African diploma, and after I can go everywhere, because with the South African diploma you can work everywhere in the world. Yes, that's why I will do my best to study and get the South African diploma.
Well, we wish you every success, Aleph. We wish you every success, Anna, with your little one as well. Thank you very much. And Melanie, well done.
There's a lot
of stories in here, and there's a lot of heartbreak.
And a lot more coming.
And good. So it's an ongoing process, which is an amazing thing, because to be listened and to be heard, as you both said, is really a very, very powerful thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Melanie, Govender, Anna, Aleph, thank you very much. And Miranda, thank you very much. Very best of luck with the work that you do. And if anybody would like to know more, probably best to contact scalabrini.co.za. Is that right?
Org for organization.
Okay.
.za. Yeah.
scalabrini.org.za. And you can find the book there, and you can buy the book, I think, at the book lounge as well.
At the book lounge and the Scalabrini.
And at the centre. In My Shoes, it's called 40 Original Very Moving Stories from Refugees, Asylum Seekers and Migrant Workers. And you're listening to SAFM Literature.